In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. It seems to me a long time ago since the Bishop of London was with us here some weeks back. What a great occasion it was. And after lunch, we often review the service at home at lunch on Sundays. And my granddaughter, Bethany, said to me, "Grandad," she said, "who was the girl with the pointy hat sitting on the throne? Who was the girl with the pointy hat sitting on the throne?" You see, the wonderful thing about children is that they're great levelers. And despite all our hierarchy, let's call it that, the bishop, sir, is just one of us, really, called to minister. In our reading from the Gospel, we get one of the prayers of Jesus that was never answered. So first of all, before I get on to talk about the Ascension, I want to talk to those of you today who feel as though your prayers are never answered. Maybe you prayed for a loved one and they weren't healed. Maybe you struggle today with loss because your prayers weren't answered. Maybe there was a job or a relationship, a possession, I don't know, a future that you longed for, that you prayed for earnestly, but it wasn't answered. Well, we get a prayer today that Jesus prayed just before the crucifixion, and the prayer wasn't answered. And it still hasn't been answered. And the prayer goes like this: "Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one." Let me say that again. Jesus prayed, "Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one." It is one of the great unanswered prayers of Jesus. So if you have unanswered prayers today, there are many reasons, by the way, for unanswered prayers. One of them is that the kingdom of God has come, but it hasn't fully come. We live between times. So it hasn't fully arrived yet. And so an awful lot of our prayers will go unanswered because there's a battle on. We live between times, and you may pray for somebody for healing and for delivery from death, but your prayer hasn't been answered because we live between times. The kingdom of God has broken in, but it hasn't fully come. But also, Jesus' prayer, this prayer, wasn't answered, because if you look at the history of the church, we've not remained one. So you just go up Alexander Avenue towards North Harrow Tube Station. There's a whole litany of different churches. And the reason for that, Catholic, Anglican, Evangelical, Brethren, the reason for that litany of churches is because Jesus' prayer wasn't answered. "Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one." Because we've struggled to get on with one another. And as a church, we're called actually to live in the life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be one together. And when there's broken relationships in communities and between churches, and there's been a history of our brokenness, it reminds us that this prayer of Jesus was not fully answered, that we might be one. So for us, what does that mean for you and me? It means that we need to really make sure that we start here, that we call each other brother and sister, and that the relationships in the Christian community here at St. Andrew's and in every church are good, and they are healed. And the brokenness that's between us is reconciled. We are all called to what's called priestly ministry. The word priest means to be a bridge builder. So today, before we receive Holy Communion, a reminder again, please make sure as we share in the peace, not just a golden and hello, nice to see you, happy days, no. Before I can receive this sacrament of the risen Jesus, before I can receive it, make sure that all your relationships in this community here are whole. Said before, because if we don't, Paul says, some remain sick and some die because of broken relationships and receiving the sacrament. It's powerful. The unanswered prayer of Jesus. Father, I pray that they be one as we are one. Now, on Thursday, I was driving across France from the Dordogne back to London, 13 hours in a car. I wasn't sure I was up to it as I'm getting older. We shared the drive in, Barbara and I. We had a wonderful time in the sun with our grandchildren. But Thursday was Ascension Day. Let me tell you why Ascension Day is so absolutely vital for you today. Not just for the church, but for you. You see, it's not like the grand, it's not just the grand finale. It's not a great retreat of Jesus going back to the Father, but it's a great, wonderful, glorious celebration. That despite your concerns and the things that we see in the news and we worry about daily, the small things to the big things, things that occupy our hearts and our future and our phones, please switch them off. That above all and over all and in all, Christ is King and Lord. So you think about the thing that you're most occupied today, that worries you the most. It might be your health, might be a relationship, might be your money, might be the lack of a relationship and a life partner, I don't know, whatever it might be. Worry today, what is the thing that worries you most? And I want you to visualize in your mind's eye Christ above and over it all as Lord and King. And despite everything, his exaltation means that he is praying for you. He's praying for you. It says repeatedly in the epistles, he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. Not a great retreat, but a great rein in. All sorts of things occupy my heart today. Well, what, my health? Where I'm going to live when I retire, what will happen to our grandchildren who live with us in the vicarage, all sorts of things. I'm as human as you are, but all those things, all I do daily in morning and evening in my prayer, Barbara and I together, we surrender to the fact that God is in control, that he is above all, over all, and in all. And as the power went up, so the power comes down. And that he is our advocate, and he speaks to the Father for us. That's what the scripture says. And that all authority has been given to him. He is Lord of all. Now, this is so powerful. Get this, because you may think actually it's President Trump who's in control, or Mr. Putin, or China, or whatever. But what we need to understand as Christians, that ultimately, because of the ascension, that Christ is above all, over all, and in all, he has disarmed all powers, and that all authority has been given to him. And therefore, we have a freedom, an assurance, that everything will be ultimately okay, because he is Lord. And the earliest Christian statement, creed, was this simple phrase, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is over all, in all, above all, and therefore they needn't be afraid. And this was a liberation to the early church. It gave them the confidence to go out, whereas would if they'd have stayed at home. It gave them the boldness to speak up in all sorts of contexts, like here, Paul rejoicing in prison. It gave them a freedom and a liberation. And the first Christians who came to faith were by and large women, because women found freedom in Jesus, whereas before they'd been oppressed. And they were slaves, because slaves were owned by other people. Yet because of Jesus, they found a freedom, because he became their Lord. He was above all, over all, and in all. And therefore, they had a wonderful assurance about themselves and the future. So, what does this mean for you? See, many of our lives and our choices are held back, and we live life on hold. We withdraw. We shut the door, we're reticent, we're uncertain, we're fearful. And gradually as we get older, we retract more and more. I was reluctant to drive to the south of France, I can tell you, because I thought I wasn't up to it anymore. And I'm glad that I didn't put my life on hold. Because Christ is above all, over all, and in all, don't put your life on hold. Make bigger choices. Because Christ is above all and over all and in all, do not be fearful for the future. Because Christ is above all and in all and over all, make choices that are bold and brave and expansive for your family and your friends, because there is a glorious trust and a future in him. And from the ascension came the great mission of the church, empowered by the Spirit. And it transformed the Roman community at the time, because they realized it was no longer an emperor in Rome who had all the power, but it was now Christ who was Lord, who had all the power. He disarmed the powers, it says in the epistles. And it gave him a glorious, wonderful freedom. It meant they had mission. They went out. It meant that nothing was against them, because Christ was for them. And their lives become expansive and glorious, wonderful. And eventually it created democracy and great art, and the most wonderful music. And science itself developed out of a Christian roots, because they realized that the world wasn't something to be fearful or spellbound or magical, but something that could be understood and reasoned with. Because Christ was the Logos, and he was above all, over all, and in all. So, do not put your life on hold, can you? Maybe you've experienced a recent illness, and it's retracted your life to some degree. I pray your heart will become expansive. Maybe you worry about just getting old, and the frailty that comes, the ability to get up the stairs and off the floor. I pray that your life will still become expansive. Maybe you listen to the news daily and it just shrinks your heart. pray that your life will become expansive. You see, from the 12, by and large, uneducated people, unschooled, never went to university, hadn't travelled hardly anywhere. From the 12, suddenly the expansion of Christianity began. And it turned the world upside down. And the reason for that was because they believed that Christ was above all, over all, in all, praying for them, and it gave them a confidence. The church in this country is retracted. It's not lived by the book. The church in this country has held back. The church in London has put life on hold. And God calls us through this wonderful story of the ascension and then the sending of the Holy Spirit. There he is above our sanctuary, to be empowered and changed, and also hopefully one. I read a comment from the Times this week. A priest in Roehampton, he says, "The more I wander around the streets of Roehampton, where he lives, the more I am pretty clear in very broad brush terms. The explanation of our anxiety, distress, dismay, and hopelessness in the face of the unparalleled prosperity and freedom we enjoy in this country." This is the priest, Times, Roehampton. "Unparalleled prosperity and freedom we enjoy in this country is junk food, smartphones, and the decline of organized faith, religion, Christianity. Christ is ascended. So look through your life and your future with different glasses. Ask the Lord to forgive you for your spiritual myopia. And say, Lord, help me to see things through the light of the glorious power of this story, of the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming of the Spirit. Amen.